Game 6 tonight, Leafs Bruins, and you can feel it. There's a buzz down here. There's a lot of Leaf fans, and it will be a packed house tonight. And one of the many fans that will be in attendance tonight, although he just told us he'll be running around a little bit, as he usually does, Maple Leaf great, former captain. Here's Rick Vive joining us around the table. Good. Welcome to the food truck, Rick. Yes.
Yeah, I'm glad to be here. I don't know how they fit all you guys in
it's
here.
Tight quarters. It's tight quarters.
Well, Old Dog left, so we're okay.
Yeah, we had to get rid of him just to be able to squeeze you in here.
He's Harry and the Hendersons. He's sitting up on the roof right now.
Yeah, we'll strap him in. He'll chime in from time to time. But what's it like down here? You walk. You got the alumni jacket on. Oh, where loves the alumni jacket.
Yeah. I see. I can button mine up. He can't.
No, but, he can't.
You know what? It's great. It's this is fantastic. The atmosphere, the way they do the Maple Leaf Square and everything, and I mean even here, I mean you're outside Maple Leaf Square and people are crowding all around the arena, and it's going to be electric in there. There's no question about that. And if they can get an early lead, then it'll just grow.
Yeah, well, that's what we've been talking about. Like, Noodles pointed this out, that the team that scores first, 5-0 in the series.
Yeah.
Like, you know, it's such a cliche in hockey. You got to start on time. The first goal is so important. But the data would suggest that as well, just in this series. Scoring the first goal, especially for the Leafs tonight, this place will explode tonight.
Oh, there's no question. It will. And I think that's very important, more for the Leafs than for the Bruins, to get that first goal, I think, tonight. And, you know, I've heard a lot of people talking about the pressure is all on the Bruins and all this kind of stuff. And I'm like, wait a minute. Like, I think there's more pressure on the Leafs to win here in their own building to force a Game 7.
Yeah.
Because if they don't win tonight, they're done.
Exactly. I totally agree with you. Like, Boston's got pressure, too, but more so on the Leafs tonight.
Yeah, Boston has another opportunity in their home building. So I don't think there's as much pressure on them as there is on Toronto.
No, I'm with you. I think it's on the Maple Leafs. I think Boston probably feels pretty comfortable with the way they've played.
Yeah.
You know, they have not been blown out yet. They stormed back on Saturday night. They made that a game.
Right.
And they almost got it to overtime, and who knows what would have happened there. The Leafs, on the other hand, have had a couple of poor games. The first two in Boston were not very good. So it's more difficult for me to predict what the Leafs are going to bring to the table tonight, just because they've had a more inconsistent series.
Absolutely. I couldn't agree with you more on that. And the one big thing that I look at is, if Frederick Anderson wasn't playing like he is, this would be over by now already.
Mm-hmm.
Even the other night, he made a spectacular save on Pasternak.
Yeah.
Actually, he did in two of them in the game before that.
Yep. Yeah.
So, you know, they've got to clean up their own zone. They too many giveaways. Too many turnovers at the offensive blue line that have turned into two-on-ones and that sort of thing. I mean, if they can clean those up and give Freddie a little bit easier time back there, then they got a real good chance of winning, because they're faster than Boston, there's no question. But Marchand already talked about that. Well, they can be faster, they can do this, they can do that, but it comes down to who wants to win more. And right now, I see that Boston seems to want to win more than Toronto does.
With Maple Leaf legend Rick Vive down at the Maple Leaf Square ahead of Game 6 tonight, Marchand is a guy, I'm not sure if that type of player would have existed when you guys played. I mean, can you imagine that type of guy in the 70s and 80s where, so, you know, jabs here, there, then he runs out of the scrum.
Oh, there was 20 of those guys on every team.
Those guys existed back then?
Well, you had Ken Linsman, you had Bobby Clark, were like that.
They were known as Ken Linsman, his nickname was The Rat.
Yeah.
That's Esa Tikkanen, guys. But there was...
Well, have you seen Esa recently?
No.
No, he's a real big rat. But anyway...
No, but I think what Brian's pointing to is there was a layer of accountability back then where if you knew that you acted up, like there was somebody...
Well, someone could get to you, right?
Exactly. Yeah. The answer was waiting for
you. We were talking about this in the press box a couple of games ago. Greg Gilbert, I was sitting up there with Greg, and Greg was like, it's amazing, and I think he's pointed this out on the pre- and post-game. When Marchand gets in there and does something, the ref goes and grabs him and gets him out of the scrum. And Greg's kind of an old-school guy. He's like, leave him there and let the Leafs do something to him before the ref jumps in. And maybe it's more about officiating than it is necessarily the way Marchand plays, that is just different.
Well, I think it's just the way the game is played.
Right.
And they don't want anything to happen. And they want to get him out of there so that they're not going to run after him and do anything. And so then nothing happens. And I think that's probably the mindset of the referees as well, is that, you know, this isn't going to happen. We got to make sure it doesn't happen.
You're right. And the one thing I noticed is Marchand is a master of...
He's very good.
Initiating. He's a very good player.
He's a superstar.
He's a superstar. But the other day, people were pointing out, you know, he skates by. Mitch Marner's down. He skates by, gives him a little pop on the head. You know, and Mitch, I thought, handled it very well today. Said, you know, he's a sneaky player and all of that. But Kadri has that in him.
Absolutely.
Hyman's got it in him.
Yep.
Like
Komarov.
You know, there are guys that, to me, if you want, you have to fight fire with fire, in essence. You want to still play your game. The Maple Leafs want to play their game, but you want to get underneath the skin of Marchand, because he is a guy who can get rattled too. Patrice Bergeron went out of his way. Was that game three?
Yeah, it was game three. That was when he got injured.
He got injured that game, but Plekanec got a couple licks on him, and all of a sudden he was running out of position to try and have retribution. You have to find...
Which is unusual for him.
It is, right. And because composure is usually what he's all about. Mm-hmm. But what I'm saying is, as far as the Leafs, you know, Babcock's already planted the seed, you know, hey, we want the refs, blah, blah, blah. That, whether that happens or not, you've got to create your own, for me, your own destiny. But you can, in those little battles, you can cause the havoc.
Absolutely.
A little pop here, a little shot there, and be the agitator and be the guy who initiates and get them to respond. I think the Leafs still have that. And these are the trickery, the types of things that happen behind the scenes. Now, obviously...
But who, though?
Well, that's the question. Who is it for, like, you on the Leafs?
Well, I think you need Kadri to get in and do a little bit of that without going over the line,
right?
And get them upset. You need guys like him.
Maybe Pollock.
Well,
aggressive.
Did you see last game? JVR kind of did it in the corner. He went and sat on somebody. Was falling. Oh, I fell over. But that's the type of stuff. We all know Kadri can do it, and Hyman can. But it's guys like Bozak. Like,
you
need more to be engaged.
Right.
That, and it's not crossing the line, but it's like, hey, we're here. We're involved. Backus goes out. They're losing. They've got no momentum. All of a sudden, Backus is in a scrum. Like,
yeah,
he knows exactly what
he's doing.
Running guys over. Because he knows, I'm going to try and change something here.
Look what Austin Watson does in Nashville.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, he's just going around just kind of face-washing people. He doesn't get caught, doesn't get called. But it agitates the other team, and that's, I think that's a good idea. I mean, Marchand's good at it, and the last thing you want to do is have him going around getting you upset, and then all of a sudden losing your composure here at home, because, you know, then you're in trouble.
Then you're in big trouble. If they win the mind games,
and then
because
he
that's
scores.
A part of the game. Exactly.
And then he scores,
well,
and he wins.
And that's what was...
And you know that's going to happen.
Exactly.
That was crushing with game four. I absolutely believe... The fact that he scored that 2-on-1 goal, it had a bigger impact than anybody else on
deflating.
The Bruins. Because it was him. Because he can play like a weasel, but he does so very effectively.
Right.
And you haven't seen it. There have been times where you can't... He's a captivating player, Marchand, because of the way he plays. And I don't
He's a maritimer, so he's good at everything.
Exactly.
Yeah, he is.
That's right. That's precisely right. And you can't take your eyes off him, as much as you don't want to. You don't want to admit that. But there have been times in this series where... I'm watching and I'm thinking, you can get a little lick on him and they haven't done it.
Yeah.
And, you know, maybe it's because of the way he plays.
It's hard.
It is hard.
It's very hard because he's very tough to get a hold of. He's pretty slippery. He gets away from hits. And I don't think he puts himself in a position for them to get a good lick on him without taking a penalty. And I think he's very good at that. He's very good at doing it himself without taking penalties as well.
Yeah, he's mastered that. He's taken one penalty this whole series, and I think it was a coincidental with Morgan Riley.
Yeah, they were stick swinging.
That's right. It was.
That's it.
It's the only
outside
one.
Of that.
Rick Five joining us. Yeah, he's a really good player, and that top line for Boston's been really good. When you think of who has to counter that tonight, outside of Matthews, there's so much focus on him. Is there another Leaf that you're looking at tonight, and you're thinking that guy's got to have a great game tonight for them to win?
Oh, geez, I think they just got to be better as a team in their own zone.
Mm-hmm.
I really do. I look at it, And, you know, I mean, maybe everybody's talking about Nylander, Marner, Matthews. Yeah, I mean, of course they got to be better. I mean, they're the best players on the hockey team. And, yeah, maybe Nylander can probably do a little bit more than he's done so far in the series. He's probably the only guy that I can think of. But as a team, they got to be better in their own zone. They've given up a lot of turnovers that turned into real good scoring opportunities, given up, I think, three or four two-on-ones that they scored on every one of them, pretty much.
Right.
And you can't do that in the playoffs if you're gonna win hockey games. And they've done that. And the game that they did win, they got a couple of two-on-ones and scored on them.
Yeah.
Right.
So that's the difference in the series is it's a game of mistakes. You know, we all know that. And they've made more mistakes than Boston so far.
And that's why they're down 3-2, but they can redeem themselves tonight.
Hey, they win tonight. And
Game 7.
I think Game 7 is a flip the coin because I don't care if you got home ice or not. There's more pressure on the home team, I think, than there is on the road team.
Well, and especially in that situation because you've had two elimination games. If this goes to Game 7 and Boston wasn't able to finish
it off
in 5-6.
Well, they'll think about 2013 then.
Right.
Now you're starting to
change that script, though.
Yeah, exactly.
Right? Well, enjoy it tonight, Rick. We always love catching up with you, man. And we appreciate you getting through the crowds. And
not
good luck
problem.
Getting back through the crowds into the rink tonight.
That won't be a problem. They'll all just say hello and, hey, Rick, how's it going?
We got to give a shout-out to your son who's listening.
Yeah, Justin.
Border.
Yeah, he's down in Cincinnati. They unfortunately lost last night. Lost to Fort Wayne in the first round of the playoffs. And
surprised he's not drowning his sorrows a little bit going out.
Well,
and
he probably did last night. But they had their exit meetings or their medical meetings actually today. The doctors and everything. So I don't know what he did last night. I don't think he did too much because he had a lot of bumps and bruises. He blocked about 40 shots in the series.
Mm-hmm.
Scored 5 goals though. So
there you go.
Give him credit. He's a good player. Big boy, 6'6", 240. And,
holy smokes!
That'll work.
And he's listening to us right
now.
There you go.
He listens to you guys all the time.
That's
the
awesome.
That's awesome.
Down in Cincinnati.
Down in Cincinnati.
Yeah, always knew we love Cincinnati. It's a great town.
Well,
great
I do city. Too. I got the phone with the podcast, and I every once in a while if I'm bored and or if I can't sleep, I'll put it on and I put my head on my pillow. And I fall asleep.
Yes, that's the testimonial we're looking for. The great Rick Vibe sleeps on a my pillow. What are you waiting for?
My older son gave it to me for Christmas. It's a best thing I've ever gotten, and I wake up now and I don't even have a sore neck at all, which I used to have every morning before.
Confirm. We're not paying you to say that. This is true testimony.
It's absolutely true. I couldn't believe when he gave it to us for Christmas.
That's awesome.
That's hilarious.
Yeah. Noodles and I sleep on our own my pillow too. It's
everyone
the best
does.
In the business.
Beautiful.
All right, Rick. Enjoy it tonight. Thanks for
guys.
Popping by. There's the great Maple Leaf legend, Rick Fox.